welcome everyone to another edition of Empire Writes Back, the podcast. Once again, it's your guy, John Franklin here, co-site expert with our guy on the phone this time, sad to not see his face, Sean Dyer. And we're bringing in a little special guest, a Mets expert, if you will, a connoisseur of all things amazing Mets, Mr. Richie Todd. And guys, the Subway Series is just underway. Last night, the Yankees taking game one of a four-game set, two in the Bronx, two in Queens. Little sweater for the Yankees for a while, 4-2 final. What were your major takeaways? Let's start with you, Richie, while you're in front of me. From the Mets' perspective, it's kind of a restructure year. Wouldn't call it a rebuild. What do you think is going on in the Mets' heads after last night?
I think with the Mets, they obviously have to be pleased with how Montero pitched, because I think he has shown the ability that he has good stuff. He throws really hard, and he's got like the makeup to be a good pitcher, but his command hasn't all been there. And then he had that tough fourth inning against the Yankees, but he only gave up one run and got out of it. So I think with, you know, Montero, you have to be pleased, but, you know, their same problem stems back to their, you know, lack of offense, the bullpen, Robles' inconsistency, but, you know, just a typical Mets game with the bullpen blowing it at the end.
Yeah, one of my biggest takeaways myself from the Mets perspective, and Sean, I think you'll appreciate this one, is I was watching from the Yes Network, and they brought up how two years ago, when Robles had the blow-up at Mark Teixeira for stealing signs, and Teixeira was just in his head on second base, you know? And
he started pointing at his head, right?
Yeah, he was just like, I'm in your head, and he's just, Teixeira was pointing, like, at, like, just doing stupid baseball signs with his nose, like, forehead, just pointing around his face and stuff, and Robles got absolutely rattled, and the ump had to walk him off the field. It was crazy. But, so yeah, Sean, Richie touched on the Mets' bullpen inconsistencies. I think last night, one of the better things for the Yankees was the bullpen got back on track, and it was without seeing who Joe Girardi called their closer, Aroldis Chapman. I think you could touch more on that I'd argue the bullpen looked better without even putting Chapman out on the bump.
Yeah, I personally am in the camp that believes that Chapman's time at closer may need to take a little break just because there's so many other options. And I think Paul O'Neill touched on it yesterday during the game, that the only reason that there's even a question of removing Chapman is because there's so many great options out there. Obviously, Betances closed it down last night. Robertson got the win. But aside from those late-inning guys, Chad Green has just been unbelievable the entire season. Sessa comes out with an injury last night after 4 1/3. And Green goes 2 2/3, shutout. Doesn't give up a hit, just walks one guy and strikes out four. He's been unbelievable. Former starter that turned into a reliever, and I hope that the Yankees don't ever try to turn him back into a starter. I think he's similar to Jabba Chamberlain, how if you bring him back as a starter, it could just go a lot worse. But ERA under 2 this year, and he just comes in. He's so steady, so consistent, throws strikes. He throws a lot harder out of the bullpen like most guys do. So I think Chad Green is the big story from last night for me, coming out of in terms of the bullpen and the pitching staff.
Yeah, no, just to bounce off that, I think that the major takeaway for me from not only the Chad Green performance, but pitching in general, was Robertson looked really, really good. He did. And over the course of that eighth inning, he looked very, very good. I thought that he kind of, I know Betances came out and closed, but I wouldn't put it past Girardi to put Robertson back out there as a closer if they want to take Chapman out of the closing role.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's because there's so many great options. They can have Betances close one day, Robertson the next. They could always have a Green set up, be a setup man, or Warren be a setup man, or Tommy Canley, who we didn't see last night. He strikes a ton of guys out. They have a lot of options in the late innings out of that bullpen. So, yeah, I think I don't know if I would remove Chapman altogether, but maybe take some time off, work him in the eighth inning maybe, or if you have a 3-run lead, maybe you bring him in there. But in the tight games, his fastball isn't quite what it, he was throwing just as fast. The Devers home run for the other night was 102 miles an hour. He's throwing hard, but he just throws straight, and these professional hitters can time it up and hit that fastball.
Just square,
and
if
he doesn't have a slider working or he's not using it, the fastball really is no good, which he proved against the Red Sox the other night. Obviously, you're paying him $15 million, so you have to use him, and that could influence why Girardi said he's still his closer. But I don't know. I think right now, Because they have, the Yanks have the second most blown losses in the league at 20. So you should say even half of those blown saves you get wins, were in first place. So I think it's something that needs to be addressed. But who knows? Who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, and just a little breaking news from the podcast. Ben Heller just went out and struck out 10 out of 13 batters in his latest performance, as if the bullpen couldn't have gotten any better for the Yankees. Just got that notification via MLB at Bat, the app. So why don't you guys check that out? But Richie, coming back to you in the Mets direction. Like I said earlier, I noted restructure, not a rebuild. But last night, the bats came alive a little bit. You know, you saw Cespedes go deep. It was a little bit of the Mets of old. You saw, and Granderson, little flashes back to his Yankee days, going yard in the short porch. But is it almost time to, even though he went yard, is it time to get rid of Granderson? Is it time to part ways with him?
John, I wish you could tell Sandy Alderson that. Thank God you said that. I think my biggest gripe as a Mets fan right now is that, okay, you trade Duda, you trade Walker, you trade Bruce, you trade Addison Reed. Okay, like, we're giving up on this year. Let's have the young guys come up. We'll bring up Rosario. We'll bring up Dominic Smith. We'll give them a shot and see how they do, which is completely fine. But then why are you playing Curtis Granderson? Like, you can't – I don't think it's, like, a thing where you can go, all right, we'll play a couple of vets and just play all the young guys at this point. Like, you're – what are they, 10 games under 500? Like, there's no point of having Curtis Granderson play, like, unless they're just trying to, like, bring up his trade, like they're trying to trade him and deal him somewhere, and they want to just, you know, maybe hits a couple home runs, it'll have more value. But, you know, like, you have Brandon Nimmo and Lagares on the bench who can be playing with Conforto and Cespedes. Cespedes is in your long-term plan, so is Conforto. I would just be giving Nimmo and Lagares that playing time, maybe platoon with righties and lefties, rather than keep giving Granderson the playing time and, you know, see him bolster his average when the season's already gone.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Nimmo is been one of those guys that Mets fans are excited about. Just at a bottom line, Mets fans are excited to see Brandon Nimmo, what mm-hmm. he could do. And like you could say, until his swing is completely full-formed against all types of pitching, you could platoon him with a guy like Lagares.
And the thing with Nimmo is, like, you know, I have no idea how he's going to be. Like, I really don't know. I mean, I think he's, what, like 25, 26 maybe?
I think he's 26.
Around that age. Yeah, you know, I don't know if he's the future, but at least give him an opportunity. And it's like, this is the time to give a guy an opportunity. It's like, you know, okay, maybe when the Mets are six games out of the wild card and, you know, mid-June, it's like, all right, we're going to keep playing Granderson. You know, we might still be in contention, but this is the time. I mean, they're completely out of the race. Give Nimmo and Lagares the time.
And, you know, they might – yeah, Sean, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think it's similar to the Yankees last year when they sold at the deadline, got rid of Beltran. They brought Judge up for a little bit to play right field, but the big thing that came out of that was Aaron Hicks got consistent playing time down the stretch. And Hicks struggled all year when he was the fourth outfielder, getting a start maybe once every couple days. And he was hitting like around 200, but then once he got consistent playing time, he started hitting like around 280, 290, which is what we're seeing him do now. And I think that getting him a chance to play at the end of the last season, it gave the Yankees a chance to see that, oh, this is a pretty good player, that with everyday at-bats, he could get a chance to actually show what he could do. And now this year they've given him plenty of at-bats, and he's been phenomenal. So I think that's could do something similar. See exactly what you have from Lagares and Nimmo, if they can get somewhat consistent at bats, because they are much more part of your future than Granderson will be.
Yeah, Sean, you took the words right out of my mouth just saying the Beltran trade and even the Andrew Miller deal and stuff like that are moves that the Mets are gonna have to make down the stretch. Richie, what do you think is the big move that they're gonna have to make in order to make last night? You know, last night was kind of sugar-coated with the home runs, but you don't want to see a guy like Granderson out there. What's the ultimate move the Mets are going to have to make?
Now, are we talking for the series or, like, long-term?
Just
for the series. You know, I guess the pitching just needs to be there, especially, you know, with young hitters like Rosario. I mean, Rosario's been doing okay, but Dominic Smith has kind of been struggling so far. So, you know, their lineup's depleted without Bruce. I mean, Bruce hit, what, like 30 home runs, 29 home runs before he got traded, so, you know, like, DeGrom's going to have to come and have his, you know, A-game stuff, because, you know, the Mets, you know, they strike out a lot, they don't score a lot, and, you know, especially after all the trades, I think, you know, they just, the pitching has to be there. That's their only hope to, you know, win a couple games.
Yeah, and, you know, Jacob DeGrom, he's on the bump tonight against Sonny Gray, and when we come back, we'll be touching on tonight's game. You guys won't want to miss it, because this podcast is coming out right before first pitch. Empire Rights back. We'll be right back. I don't even care, 'cause I can tell what's going on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and we are back. Once again, this is the Subway Series special. Check out that alliteration of Empire Writes Back, the podcast. And we're bringing it in tonight, right now, to talk about tonight's game and pitching matchup, probably the biggest one of the series, probably going to determine whether or not the Yankees have a chance to sweep the Mets in this four-game set. We got Jacob deGrom against Sonny Gray. And Sean, what do you think Sonny Gray is going to have to do in order to hold it down against a top-tier guy like DeGrom?
I don't know if he's going to have to do too much more than he's been doing. If you look at his two starts for the Yankees so far, he's pitched well in both of them. In his debut with the Yanks, he got no defense behind him. That was the big three-error first inning. It kind of set the tone for the game, but he did settle down after that, gave up one big hit late that kind of put the Yanks out of reach. But he pitched well in that one. Then he pitched well in his second start, and they just didn't get any offense behind him. So I think if he pitches like he's been pitching, he'll definitely keep the Yanks in this game. The issue will be if they can get him any offense against a guy like DeGrom, because obviously he's the best pitcher right now, one of the better pitchers in the league. So I think Sonny Gray's going to just do what he's been doing. He's been keeping the ball up down in the zone, which is important because Mets do have some home run hitters, as they showed last night. So I think if he can keep doing what he's doing, try and get some soft contact, try some guys out, keep the Yanks in this game, and hope the Yanks can get some offense together against DeGrom. Maybe all it takes is one or two home runs like it did last night late. So I think more of the same from Sonny Gray, hopefully.
Yeah, and Rich, just from your perspective as a Mets guy, what are you looking forward to seeing tonight out of DeGrom in a rather lackluster season for the New York Mets?
I mean, DeGrom's been terrific this year. I think he's at 13 wins, I believe, and, you know, he's just been the reason, you know, that Met fans want to keep watching the games, you know, aside from, you know, the call-ups of Rosario and Smith. He's been the, you know, every five games, he's the guy you want to watch as a Mets fan, whether at this point in the season. But I think the biggest thing for him is tonight, he has to go at least seven innings, because I think with the Mets bullpen, you know, you saw last night, I mean, you know, they don't have that liberty like that the Yankees have, where they can bring guys in and, you know, keep the game where it is or keep the deficit where it is. I've seen it multiple times. I thought they were going to score actually a run in the ninth inning to make it 4-3, because I was, you know, so frustrated with that Goodell home run that he gave up, because I'm saying, you know, that's a situation where a Yankees guy comes in, you know, any of those guys come in and they'll hold the game where it is, and then you can tie the game. And so I think, you know, with the Mets shaky bullpen, DeGrom has to go at least seven tonight for them to win.
One of my favorite parts about last night, watching Dominic Smith get a defenseman difference. Watching that guy steal a base is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. But especially when he's huffing and puffing at second base and the ball wasn't even thrown his direction. Arguably one of the funniest things I've ever watched in my life.
I can't believe Sean and I are older than that guy. That guy looks like he's 30 years old. And
he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's a big man.
He's a very big boy.
He likes his cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah. He came to Queens for the food. He's all about it. There's no question about it.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he's a very talented kid, but they said that his big issue throughout his minor league career has been keeping his weight intact. He's supposed to be a good defender, but when you put too much weight on, I mean, then you'll get
Pablo
like
Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval, Prince Fielder at first base. He wasn't a bad defender, but he's not going to make any crazy play. He doesn't have a lot of range when you can't move when you're quite that big. So I think keeping his weight in check is a big thing for Smith. But I think if he does keep his weight in check, I like Smith. I think he's got a pretty bright future. I know Richie was a little higher on Lucas Duda. Didn't want to get rid of him, but I think it's better for the Mets to move on from Duda and look towards the future with Smith. I think Smith could be a little better defender and will hit for a higher average. Maybe not so much in the power department as Duda did, but I do like Smith.
So, Rich, Sean just came at you right there. Lucas Duda gone. Do you have no words to say about that, or do you think?
You know what it is about Dom. I'm rooting for him. I really hope he does well. But like, as when you see his physical makeup and the way he runs around the field and the way he moves, and he's not doing well, it really doesn't look good. I think it looks worse when he doesn't do well as opposed to Duda, just because of, like, I saw a ball last night. I think it was like a high throw, and he jumped for it, and it looked like he just took all the air out of him. So I have faith in him. I you know, I hope he gets it going. I think he, you know, like, obviously, I think he's at every level. I saw he was hitting like 300 in his minor league career. But yeah, right now he's a little frustrating me a little bit, just because I was a big Duda fan. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, last night was Smith's, what, I think, fourth game. So it's very early, obviously. He's got plenty of time.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of time. And he's also, like we've touched on, he's young. And Ahmed Rosario's up, too. We're not talking too much about him, but, Rich, Ahmed Rosario, I believe, got the last out of last night's game, struck out looking.
Thought that pitch was a little outside. Not even being biased here. I thought it was a little...
Rosario struck out three times last night.
Yeah, no, I know. I think he did have a hit, but he did have a couple strikeouts. I love him at short, though, by the way. Like, I think the Mets need that. They need, like, a guy with great hands in the middle infield. I feel like they haven't had that in a while. And he did something, I don't think I've seen since, I don't know, Jesus Christ was alive. They stole a base last night, so... That was something that was like, why don't they do that more? They need a guy with speed. The Mets are arguably one of the least athletic teams in baseball. And I don't know what Alderson's, money ball theories are on that. Like, oh, I don't believe in this. I do believe in that. I think athleticism is key. I mean, the Royals showed in 2015 that it was important because that was a key element to their game when they won the World Series. So I'd like to see, more of that, some more steals, and hopefully Rosario can give them that, speed spark that they need.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say early in Jose Reyes' Mets career when he first came up, that was what he did. He stole a lot of bases.
Right.
Yeah. Was an athletic guy, so I think Rosario could even be better than Reyes as an overall player. But yeah, I agree. I think Yankees don't do it enough either in terms of stealing bases. They have guys like Gardner and Ellsbury, and even Hicks that should be stealing a little more. They do steal from time to time, but I think they could do it a lot more. I know there were times early in the year where Gardner would get on base, and then Judge would be up, and they didn't want to take the bat out of his hands, so they would hold Gardner first. But I think I agree with you, Rich, that especially a young team should be athletic, steal a lot of bases, be more exciting to watch, and I think helps out win more games.
Yeah, Sherlin, just to touch on that, there was a play last night. I was sitting there watching the game, and first and third, there was – one out, I believe. Yankees were still down 2-1 at this point. Gardner was on first, and they didn't steal. And I couldn't believe they didn't steal because it was the ideal situation. You got first and third, one out. You got probably your best base stealer in your lineup on base. You're down a run. Why not try to get that guy in scoring position? A bad throw gets the guy from third home. It was almost a perfect storm to just steal a base for Gardner. And even if there's two outs, it's still two outs with a guy on third. I know it's not ideal, but Gardner's going to steal that base a good majority of the time, and Girardi is very hesitant to do it, and I don't know why, but that's a him problem, not a me problem. That's why I'm sitting here talking to a microphone, and he's out there in a uniform every day. That's just, he's paid to make those decisions, and I'm not. That's the bottom line. But, guys, just to get back to you a little bit, Rich, one game down, Yankees took the first one. Overall prediction tonight, what's going to go down in the Bronx?
I'm going to say DeGrom gets the win tonight. I can't speak for the rest of the series at Citi Field right now. I actually I'd like to see the matchups. But for tonight, DeGrom versus Gray, I think Gray's going to pitch well. I think he's a very good pitcher, and that was a great pickup for the Yankees. But I say DeGrom gets the win tonight.
Sean, want to combat that, or you want to agree with that? What's your deal?
I think DeGrom definitely will pitch well. As Rich said, he kind of goes deep in the game, and I think he will. I think Gray will pitch well, too. I think it's definitely be a low-scoring affair. I think it'll come down to a home run late that'll probably make the difference. I think the Yanks could pull it. I could see it going either way, to be honest. It'll be hopefully the most exciting game to watch this series with the pitching matchup. But, yeah, I think if you want me to predict one, I'll say Yanks win a tight one, Judge goes deep. But obviously, Rich is going to say that I'm biased. But I think
I wasn't going to say that.
You got the Mets prediction. I'll take the Yanks prediction. It'll be a low scoring affair, though.
And before we take a break, I'm going to split the middle. I'm going to say if DeGrom goes 7 or a little more than 7, maybe 7 1/3, Mets probably win the game unless the bullpen falters again. But I think if DeGrom goes that deep, the Mets have probably a better percentage to win at that point. But if he gets rattled early, which he never does, but if that would ever happen and the Yanks get to him, the Yanks put the bats in their hands, Yanks win it. But I'm leaning more into Grom's direction, even as a Yankee fan right now, Sean. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Well, that's fair. I think if it comes down to the bullpen, obviously the edge goes to the Yanks because they have plenty of guys that can come shut it down where the Mets struggle in that department a bit. So, yeah, it'll definitely be up to DeGrom to try and keep it out of the bullpen. if DeGrom can keep it, keep the game out of the bullpen's hands, yeah, the Mets should have an edge there. I would agree.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe not seven, too. You might have to go nine tonight for them to.
Yeah, you never know. Honestly,
keep the bullpen off the field.
Yeah.
All right, well, gentlemen, good stuff. When we come back, folks, you're not going to want to miss it. We got one more set left. We're talking predictions the rest of the series. We're giving you our classic final thoughts. You won't want to miss it. Empire Rights back. We'll be right back. And we are back, folks. We are in the home stretch of what seems to be one of our millionth episodes. We've been doing this for a little while now, but now we're on the Subway Series special. And once again, we're bringing in Richie Todd to my right, Sean Dyer on the phone to my left. And boys, Sean wrote an article this past week. You're going to want to check it out, folks, out there, if you're listening, EmpireRightsBack.com, about the potential of a New York Mets, New York Yankees super team in the future, 2018, Sean. Why don't you go ahead and kick us off. Take us through your thought process writing this article. Give us your inside scoop.
So, Richie, actually, in the past, we've talked about the idea of the Yanks and Mets coming together. Because it was a few years ago we talked about it when the Mets had the great rotation and the Yankees had some offense and some bullpen pieces. And we thought, well, what if we just came together, made a team? How great would that be? So I went through both teams' rosters and farm systems, put together, did a 26-man roster, added an extra guy because it was too hard to narrow it down to 25. So I did, for 2018, used everybody's 2018 salary, try and keep it under luxury tax, which actually wasn't a problem. So yeah, when you put the teams together, if you check out the article online, the roster's a lot better than either the Yankees or Mets roster separately, and the roster's actually cheaper than both the Yankees and Mets roster separately. So obviously, never will really happen, but it would, if maybe Steinbrenner and Wilpon take a look at the article, like, we consider it, because I think it would help out both sides.
All right, yeah, so Sean, we're going to swing things over to Richie's side. Richie, I know you had a little bit of a problem here with some of the stuff Sean was saying in his article as far as the younger guys on the Mets getting their due. What do you got to say about it? What's your take there about some of these younger guys getting the opportunity to be on this super team that Sean Dyer's put together?
All right, let's not say I had a problem. I just had a few disagreements. But for the most part, I agreed with a lot of the team that Sean put out there. I mean, I think Conforto and Judge in an outfield would be, like, just unfair. Like, you know, especially the lefty-righty balance in the outfield. Yeah, I agreed with a lot of it. I guess just, you know, I think Sean had Rosario and Smith there. And I guess from a, you know, like in terms of hype and, you know, how highly touted the guys are, I can understand why they'd be in there. I just, you know, I think, you know, you got to give obviously the edge to the offense with the Yankees. You got to give them the edge. I mean, definitely Sanchez at catcher. And then I guess starting rotation, I think Severino's, like, super talented. I think he's one of the best young pitchers in baseball. I mean, he's proved that this year. But I think Sean had Syndergaard, DeGrom. Who was it, John? Gray, Severino, and who was the fifth?
Syndergaard, DeGrom, Severino, Gray, and Tanaka.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very fair. Like, if you go based off this, right, because you did it completely based off right now, right? Like, at this very moment, with the way they're performing, not, like...
Well, it's an outlook towards the team would be putting together next year, so this year definitely weighed a little heavier.
Yeah.
Because obviously some of the Mets starters have had great years a few years back before injuries, but I couldn't just throw that out the window. So looking ahead to next year, the injury factor for guys like Harvey and Wheeler,
yeah, no,
who haven't pitched as well since they came back, and obviously Harvey's still hurt.
I think
so. That affected that decision.
Yeah, I think in a dream world, like if I knew, you know, where, you know, like the Mets pitchers that I, you know, had big fans of, and the guys that I, you know, have seen perform very well, like, you know, last year, 2 years ago, I would have had Syndergaard, DeGrom, Severino, Harvey, and Mats. And I'm, you know, obviously Harvey's been terrible this year, but, you know, his last start, he was throwing 89 before he got taken out, so there's clearly something wrong with his arm. I'm saying if you have the old Harvey back that we know, like the guy that, you know, has the makeup to be one of the best pitchers, you know, in baseball, like he has that stuff, and then Mats, when, you know, he was exciting and he was great, like, 2 years ago and last year, and obviously he struggled this year, too. That would be my five if I knew Harvey and Mats can get back to that point, but I think it's really fair to say obviously Sonny Gray and Tanaka, because Tanaka's also had great years, you know, before this year, and, you know, Gray has done, you know, real well with Oakland, and, you know, Oakland has a horrible team, in my opinion, on paper.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If you could say you're going to give me 2013 or 2015, that heartbeat, I absolutely would put him in there. You just had two bad years since, and then before the Yankees acquired Sonny Gray, before the trade deadline, because I had been putting this roster together a little bit before the deadline, I had Matz in as my five starter, and then when Sonny Gray came over, I slotted him in there, because Gray had a rough year last year in Oakland, but aside from that, he's been an ace throughout his career, and he got no run support in Oakland. Like you said, they're not a very good team, where if you had the super team offense behind him, it'd be tough to beat him. I agree, Tanaka, obviously he's had a rough year this year, but overall in his career, he's been good. I talked to a couple people on Twitter after the article came out that wanted to swap out Tanaka with Matz. I think that's a fair argument, too. One guy mentioned that Matz is a cheaper contract, and that Tanaka, he hasn't had a major surgery on his arm, but it's almost a ticking time bomb, just kind of waiting for when that'll happen. He's in the DL now with some fatigue. So I think Matz definitely could be argued to be put in there. I would say he would be the sixth starter if there was one. In terms of the way that this roster turned out, salary-wise, there's a lot of guys, a lot of young guys under team control. Like you said, Judge and Conforto is a sick outfield. They're both making a league minimum. So money wasn't as much of a problem, so it was easy to fit Tanaka's salary in there. But if we were getting towards the luxury tax and you needed to cut costs, Matz would be an easy fix there, because obviously he's set to make close to the league minimum as well. And he's a very, very, very talented pitcher when he's healthy. He'll be pitching during this series, so we'll see how he does, but...
Yeah, so Sean, just looking at the shape of the rest of the team that you had there, infield-wise, one of the questions I had just regarding, in general, not what you had written, but just to talk to you guys about this, the first base spot, which has been a constant question mark for the Yankees this year, which has seemingly been for the Mets, it was Duda, and then Duda gets traded, and now Smith's in there. What do you think? Do you guys think if you're looking at the super team right now, a guy like Smith who's only played a handful of games, or maybe a guy like Greg Bird who has shown that he has flashes of good play in the majors, but he just can't stay on the field, or even there are guys like Tyler Austin that could be in there, or even Garrett Cooper for the Yankees, but Dominic Smith is just weighing heavily on my mind, not seeing him play that many games, but has the potential to be that good. As Richie said, I think he hit over 300 in each of his levels of minor league ball. So, do you think first base is also a toss-up at this point for a super team in New York?
Yeah, I think definitely first base in New York on both sides is a bit of a question mark. I think if the Mets didn't trade Richie's boy Duda, he probably may have been my first baseman on this team. Obviously, Bird's been out most of the year, and Smith's been up for four games. So it was basically a lot of just basing it off the hype of the two of them. And when we saw Bird play with New York a couple years ago, he looked good, hit 11 homers in 20, 30-something games. So he was definitely – that was a tough call between him and Smith. I did put Bird on the team. He's got one of my bench spots. But I went with Smith because Smith's supposed to be a pretty good defender. He's going to hit for, I think, a higher average than Bird. I talked about in the intro of this article – I said that we play 40 of our home games at Yankee Stadium, 40 at City, and the 81st home game we do a coin flip. But I think if we're playing in Yankee Stadium, I think Bird's power plays up a little bit more. Maybe you put him in there, whereas if you're playing at City Field, maybe you go with the higher average and Dominic Smith. But yeah, just 100% a toss-up at first base. Went back and forth on it and just landed with Smith.
What about you, Rich? What do you think, Smith over Bird, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I guess when Sean made the super team, I kind of didn't think about the home field aspect, like playing in. I agree with Sean. I think that was real fair to say with Dominic Smith. And honestly, right now, I mean, I guess it's because we haven't seen enough of Smith. I really liked Greg Bird that first year. I mean, he really showed. I think he can be easily a 30-35 home run hitter if he gets back to where he was when he first came up with the Yankees. But yeah, I like Bird. I mean, I think he can be a really good future first baseman for the Yankees, especially with that short porch and right. I think he could have a good future there.
Yeah, just to throw in my two cents, The thing about Dominic Smith to me, as Sean touched on, he is an average hitter, like more for average than Bird is. And Richie, you also touched for Bird being more of a home run hitter, saying he could hit 30 to 35 homers. You know, Dominic Smith kind of reminds me of James Loney.
Oh, no, absolutely. Totally agree, John. Totally.
He's just like that guy, the first baseman spot, you expect him to hit for a little pop, but yep. A guy like James Loney who's going to get up there and get on base a good majority of the time, always put a good swing on the ball, but he's never going to wow you with power. That's the kind of guy Dominic Smith reminds me of. Hopefully he could...
Completely agree.
Right? Hopefully he could keep that weight down and show us that he's capable of holding down a spot on this super team that Sean so well put together.
Average up,
yeah, I think that's definitely, Loney's definitely a good comp on Smith. And another thing, obviously Bird got more power. But if you look at the lineup, the middle of our lineup, we have Judge, Cespedes, and Gary Sanchez. So it wasn't a team in real need of a power bat.
Right.
Even guys like Conforto at the top of the lineup leading off, he's got 26 homers this year. Capshaw was hitting a lot of homers before he got hurt. So I didn't really need a middle of the order power bat like Greg Bird. I think when he gets healthy, he could be, like Richie said, 30, 35 home run guy. But it wasn't really a big need in this lineup, so I went with a higher average in Smith because there's already so many power bats. But, yeah, I think hopefully Bird, he's getting ready to do a rehab assignment this week for the Yanks, and hopefully he'll make it back to the playoff push. I think he did show a lot when he was up a couple years ago, so hopefully he gets healthy. He's got a future, but we'll see.
All right, yeah, and Sean, you know, we don't want to give away too much of the article because you folks out there should be on our website reading at www.empirerightsback.com. Just go on there, look for the guy, Sean Dyer. He's got a nice little picture, a senior picture from Udell in a suit. You know, he's looking good, looking spiffy, ready to take on the real world. You got to check him out. He's all over the place on Twitter, too. And that article, probably one of the more creative I've ever read outside of Empire Rights Back. So, Sean, really big tip of the cap to you. It was awesome. Really great read.
Thank you, sir.
All right, now, you know, we're getting towards the end of the podcast, and that means it's time for everybody's favorite, the final take, the final thought. How are we going to do it? Sean, I went first last time, so why don't you go first? Final thought regarding the Subway Series. What's going to happen? What's your take?
All right, let's see. I'm going to say... I'll give DeGrom the win tonight. But then I'm going to say the Yanks win both games in City, take 3 out of 4, and head into the series against the Red Sox on a little bit of a roll.
I like that. Rich, you want to take your final thought with us?
Yeah, I say they're going to split the series. I say DeGrom wins tonight, and then in the, Lugo and Garcia?
Yes.
I say Garcia beats Lugo, and then I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to say Mats beat Severino, but I think they're going to win that game. I don't know if, like, Mats will get the win or Severino will get the loss, but I think they'll win that game somehow.
I like that a lot, that split decision there between Mats and Severino, because Severino, like Sean had touched on during the break, coming off a little bit of a tough spot. My final thought here is that I'm going to go DeGrom wins tonight outright. I think he goes 7 2/3. I'm going to get very specific. 7 2/3 before getting pulled from the game. The Mets are going to hold it down and win. I'm going to say Judge hits 2 home runs in the next 3 games, gets hot going into Fenway. And I'm going to say the Yanks win both in Citi Field. I think Severino bounces back. He's going to get a decision. He's going to get a win. And I think in the Garcia-Lugo matchup, I think Garcia is going to beat him outright. I think he's just going to be more of a hold-down pitcher than Lugo is going to be at the time. So I'm saying the Yankees win 2 out of the next 3. Judge is a home run in 2 out of the next 3. And they go into Fenway, probably riding pretty close to Boston, considering Cleveland is going to have a good chance of taking a few games from them this weekend. So, boys, that is the end of the Subway Series special. Sean, thanks for calling in on vacation, big guy. We appreciate your time.
No problem.
All right, absolutely. And Richie, thank you for taking the time to come on over and be on your first ever podcast for Empire Rights Back. We really appreciate you being here and being our Mets guy for the day.
It was my pleasure, John. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, sir. And don't forget, we are all over social media, folks. We're Empire Rights Back on Facebook. Just put us in the search engine. Just type it in. We're right there. Put us in on Twitter at Empire Rights Back, spelled BCK. Sean, he's on Twitter at Sean R. Dyer. Richie, throw him your Twitter handle.
Richie Todd 94
got a lot of hot takes about the New York Mets you're not going to want to miss. And I'm at Hey It's Franklin 6 on Twitter. It's been a true pleasure giving you guys our Subway Series special. That'll do it for us. We got 3 games left of the Subway Series. Let's take it to the weekend. Don't tell me I'm nowhere.